Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. This morning, we're excited to have David Raley and Pat with us this morning. David has been with us a few times, I guess, in the past, but David is with Green and Raley. They travel, relentlessly. I guess they're gone a lot, helping to spread the gospel and encourage people to be involved in missions. David is from the great state of Alabama, and that's why we just connected really, really well. But he has been involved in ministry for a long time, started there in Alabama, part of the state, went on up to the national office there in Springfield, and just a few years ago, he and Tom Green started their own company to help promote missions. We're excited to have him with us, so would you make welcome David Raley this morning.
Hey, why don't you give your pastor a great hand? Don't you know you have the best? He and Sheila are the best. They are the absolute best. And I'm always pleased to be with him because I know that he will understand me. You know, when you're from Alabama, you speak you're bilingual. You speak Alabamian and English. It's so funny traveling, especially when I go way up north and I open my mouth to say something. You can see it on people's faces when they introduce me as a mission speaker and I start talking. What country is he from? Albania? No, Alabama. It is good to be here. It really is. I'm struggling a little bit in my spirit. The Holy Spirit's been moving throughout this whole building this morning. Amen? And if you come today with needs in your heart, you need to know that God is here to take care of those needs and he loves and cares for you. You know, our Sunday school lesson was pretty powerful this morning, talking about fear and the sovereignty of God and what, you know, God can do what he wants to do. Would you say amen to that? You know, you and I are wired that if we face panic, we either fight or flight. You know, we either leave or stay. I mean, that's the way we're wired. And panic is part of life. You know, sometimes I panic when I look at the checkbook. You know, there's people living in the throes of panic right now in Lower Texas and Puerto Rico and Florida. But the Christian, they're wired differently. Now, you still are a natural man. You still have those flight patterns there or fight patterns. But for the man of God, what we do is we trust or obey or trust and obey. Amen? So if you don't have God tonight, you're fighting. Or you're running. But if you find God, I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is trust and obey, and he makes things right. Amen? Even though circumstances around you might not change, the God in you settles you down. Amen? Well, isn't it good to be a part of the kingdom of God today? It is just so wonderful to be a part of the kingdom. Everywhere you turn, you hear wonderful things that are happening in God's kingdom. No, you don't. You don't hear it on the news, do you? When you turn on the news, all you hear about today is stuff you don't want to listen to. Are you like me? Have you got to the point you're just like, I don't want to hear no more. I'm just tired of it. I want something real, something that's right. Everywhere you turn in the world, there's trouble and hurricanes and problems and pestilence and leaders that have gone crazy out there. But you know what? The truth is, we in the church know that the kingdom of God is not dead. In fact, the kingdom of God is excelling and exceeding all expectations today. Around the world, God's church is doing some marvelous, wonderful things to touch the world. You know, in places like China, years ago, Chairman Mao made the statement. He said, well, one day the church is going to be relegated to the history books and the Bible to our museums. Well, he's dead. We put 3 million Bibles in there. There's about 30,000 to 40,000 people that'll give their heart to Jesus Christ today in China. Come on, somebody. You know, in communist Russia, we were so in throes about communism, you know. Russia, oh, they're so bad. I'm telling you. Did you know there are 7 times more Christians in Russia today than there were communists at the height of the Communist Party? God's up to something, folks. I'm telling you. You know, the Fire Bible, I know you've heard of the Fire Bible because you guys have helped with the Fire Bible all over the world. Over 50 different languages the Fire Bible's in today. Today, the Fire Bible is known, you know, as the Spirit Life Bible. The Fire Bible is known as the most used study Bible in the world. Pretty incredible. We print it in Belarus. Some of them in Belarus. In Belarus is a socialist country. A few years ago, a minister of the government got up and he made this statement. He said, our nation is in danger of becoming a Christian nation. Hallelujah. You go down to the continent of Africa, and some places, some nations in Africa, there are more people being born again than are being born. Who would have thought it? We don't hear that. Places like Cuba. Cuba, I mean, we started a Bible school in Cuba. We got about 3,000 students there. We just graduated the last 2 years, over 600 students. They want to send them as missionaries. We've started sending them as missionaries. But in communist Cuba, today there is over 10,000 churches and preaching points. What's going on? I'm just telling you, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And you know, I say that to say this. The kingdom of God is excelling, but also your fellowship, the assemblies of God, is excelling as well. Now, I say the kingdom first because, you know, we are part of the kingdom. We're not the only one in the kingdom. There's a lot of good Baptists and Methodists and Independents and all kinds of folks in the kingdom. You know, we get all tied up with our tags, you know, well, I'm Assembly of God or I'm Church of God or I'm Baptist. You know, the tags don't really matter. If you go to heaven, tags going to fall off. If you don't make it to heaven, it's going to burn off. Tags don't matter. But, friend, we are a part of a wonderful fellowship. And that fellowship is committed to sending the gospel around the world. When you think about the Assemblies of God, we are Spirit-filled word people that are committed to sending the gospel everywhere around the world so that everybody can hear. That's who we are. We're about reaching, we're about teaching, we're about planting, we're about touching people all over the globe. And we do it in all kinds of ways. But when we started, it was laughable. It was absolutely hilarious that we would commit ourselves to the greatest evangelism the world has ever known. When we did that, we started with 300 representatives in Arkansas. It was such a laughable thing. But today it's not laughable. Today it's over 68 million people around the globe that call themselves Assemblies of God. Today around the globe, in fact, your fellowship is in more nations than the United Nations are in. In some countries, the biggest thing there is Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and the Assemblies of God. I like all three of them. I mean, it's just amazing what God is doing through this fellowship. I mean, you think about it in terms you can understand. Every hour, there's a brand new church that opens somewhere around the globe. Every minute that goes by, two people will give their heart to Jesus Christ, to the preaching of one of your missionaries around the globe. I don't want to brag too much. I don't want to be boastful because it's not us. It's God in us. It's us together. Somebody says, how does this happen? Because churches like you are committed to services in days like this. Will you take a day and you say, I'm going to commit resources. I'm going to commit my finances, my person. I'm going to go do what God has called me to do, or I'm going to send somebody. We realize in our church that there's only three choices when it comes to the gospel. Either to go, or to send it, or disobey. And we are none of those that are going to disobey the gospel. Would you say amen? We want everybody to know. Pastor said it earlier, 7 billion people that live on the earth, and there's over 2.8 billion people who have not heard the gospel yet. That's 40% of the world who has not had an adequate witness of the gospel. Every minute that goes by, two people die, and of those two people, one of those goes into eternity without ever knowing who Jesus Christ is. We are about everybody knowing that Jesus loves them. It was Charles Spurgeon many years ago who was preaching about the lostness of man and the responsibility of you and I. When he got done preaching, somebody walked up to him and said, Brother Spurgeon, do you really believe people would be lost without the message? He said, sir, that's not the message. The message is, are we really saved if we don't tell them? We are about telling the world about Jesus Christ. We are not about steeples. We are about people. Amen? In your scripture, that's who we are. That's what we do. But I want to ask a question that is asked to me a lot of times. Why do you do missions? Why in the world do you put so much effort into missions? There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 2. And I'm going to take just about 10 minutes here and share this scripture and some thoughts on it. It says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. We are about everybody having an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. We take it as our responsibility to make it happen. Time to time, somebody will ask me, why? Why so much effort? Why so much money that is spent? You know, there's needs right here. Yes. But did you know in America we make up only about 5% of the world's population? Did you know there's 95% of the world that are out there that need the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And they're all God's family. They all belong to Jesus Christ. So some people ask me, why missions? I just say simply, well, it's biblical. You know, we do a lot of things in church, don't we? We do things that I don't know where they come from. You know, I go to a lot of churches. I average about 3 to 4 churches a week. And, you know, I see all kinds of things. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm Assembly of God. And what that means is, in our mind, is we do everything the same way. You know, I'm Assembly of God. They do it the same way we do it over the next church. No. There's no Assembly of God church I've ever been in that does anything the same way. I like to say we're all dysfunctional. It's just some of us more dysfunctional than others. Would you say amen? You know, I was in a church in North Dakota a few years ago, and three services, 2,500 people. Right before they put me up to preach, they had a 9-minute coffee break. I don't know about you, I love coffee, but if you sing like you sang this morning, I'm going to spill caffeine all over you. I was in another church down in South Alabama, and Pastor would know it if I mentioned the name, but I was sitting there worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden the ladies got the flags, and they started running across the building and waving those flags and praising the Lord. I thought, well, I don't know if that's biblical, but it's good for the cardiovascular system. You know, we just do a lot of things that are not in the Bible. That's okay. Nothing wrong with it. We can be contemporary. We can be traditional. We can be whatever we want to be. But one thing we need to make sure of is that what we do is biblical. That we need to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples out of them. He tells us that that is our commission. That is our commandment to go. We don't have a choice to do it. We have to do it. It is a biblical thing to do. And it doesn't only happen here. You know, sometimes we think the mission work is from here to there. Well, it's not only from here to there. It's from here to there and there to here and from there to everywhere. See, today around the world, God's church is exploding and missionaries are going all over the world. And we are responsible to do that. I told you about China. I remember reading a report from one of the regional directors about Wenzhou, China. The preacher was pastoring. He was preaching, and he was sharing about the responsibility of carrying the gospel. And there's three little ladies sitting there, and they thought, well, we're somebody. We need to do what the preacher said. We need to go win people to the Lord. So they went home, packed up their backpacks, and went out. And for 57 days, they started preaching and starting churches. When they got back 57 days later, Pastor said, where you been? Said, well, we've been doing what you told us to do. You said Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've been going through the province of Wenzhou. We've been preaching and starting churches. In fact, Pastor, we've started 53 churches. He didn't believe them. He sent some elders behind them to check to see what they'd done. When they come back, they said, Pastor, they did what they said. There's 53 churches out there, and over 35,000 people were in those churches after 6 months. And somebody said, well, how did that happen? Were these just incredibly anointed expositors? Were they unbelievable communicators? No, they were just people that believed the man of God and walked where God told them to go, and God gave them miracles following. Amen. Come on, somebody. We do it because it's biblical. Secondly, we do it because it's ethical. Most of us in this room have more to put in a garage sale than we used to live on. I mean, some of us, we need to get rid of some stuff, don't we? I mean, God's been good to me and Pat. Pat, man, we got stuff in our house. We got stuff packed everywhere. I want to tell you something. God's been good to us, but that's not always been the case. You know, when all of us got a story. I remember when I was a little boy, about 12, my daddy got in trouble. He went to jail. My mama divorced him. That was a bad day in my life. And then I ended up in trouble in Chicago where I lived. And they were going to put me in a truant home, and I had heard ugly stories, so I left and went to Alabama. When I went to Alabama, I lived with my grandparents, but I got in trouble there, and I got kicked out of Alabama. Now, how many know you got to be dumb to get kicked out of Alabama, Mike? I got kicked out of Alabama, went back to Chicago, got in trouble again, went back and lived with my other grandparents, and got kicked out of there. I've lived in cotton cribs and barns. I've stayed with people. I just begged them to let me stay. I've stole food to eat. When my mother had married again, they were coming through Alabama to go to Texas, make a good life. So she said, come on, go with us, and everything would be great. Well, it was great for about 6 months, and my new stepdaddy decided he didn't want to raise six children. So he dropped us off at a children's home, he and Mama. I will never forget it, in Mesquite, Texas, Buckner's Children's Home, standing at the curb there watching my mother drive away with her new husband and my siblings crying. Something in me hated everybody that moved that day. In fact, I ended up on drugs. I was 15 years of age. I woke up at 16. I looked up and said, you know, nobody cares if I live or die. If I'm going to make it, I got to do something about my own life. I got me a bus ticket, went to Coleman, Alabama, went to work at a chicken plant. You've never lived till you've worked at a chicken plant. But I met a little girl there that I wanted to date, and she wouldn't date me. You know, I said, what do I have to do to get a date with you? She said, well, our church is having a revival. If you'll come out and revival, I'll go out and have a hamburger with you. Now, that's not the way to evangelize, okay? But it worked. I went to church, and I heard the gospel, and that day I walked down an aisle, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I married the little girl. She's my Cinderella, okay? What I'm saying today is God's been good to me. God's been good to my family. That's why I travel 260 days a year doing things like this. It's not because I love the travel or the money. It's because I owe the world back. I owe somebody the gospel back because I got the gospel. I should not be here today, but Jesus in me gives me the hope of glory. And when you go, as our brother goes to Romania, such incredible poverty there, to see what he's doing and what God is doing through him, it's amazing. You go to places like I walked into Tegucigalpa, Honduras, a few years ago, and I walked to a garbage dump. And I watched a lady as she was digging in the garbage dump, and she was putting garbage, she was putting food in there to feed her baby that she was holding on her arm. As she held that baby in the garbage bag, she was fighting dogs and vultures for the same piece of bread. That could have been my mother there. Or walking down the streets of Caracas, Venezuela. And as I'm walking down the streets of Caracas, Venezuela, little boys are sleeping in the breezeways. And the missionary, I said, what is this? He said, they have no place to sleep. And he said, I have a dream of buying some land and building some houses and calling them Samuel's house. I dreamed with him, and I found the pastor who had the money, and we bought the land and bought a tractor, and we built houses there. And there are little children in that place today that are not sleeping on the streets, but they're in a home hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that could have been my child or your child there. Listen, I'm saying we do it because it's just right to do it. It's biblical, it's ethical, it's moral. If you and I had, have you ever had the doctor tell you you got cancer? Listen, that'll shake you to your socks. I know, because I had the doctor to tell me that I had cancer in my kidney, a tumor the size of a grapefruit, several years ago now. I finally figured out why God made grapefruits, so you could measure tumors by. But when they took the kidney out and the tumor, the doctor come in, I'll never forget, he was smiling. I'm thinking, what are you smiling? You have just cut me in half here. What are you smiling about? He said, you had cancer, but you don't have it no more. It was all contained. If you'd have waited 30 days, you wouldn't be around long. But you can go do what you do. I said, well, I'm a preacher. He said, well, go preach. And I've been preaching ever since. Amen. But if you had the cure for cancer, the cure for blindness, the cure for sugar diabetes, the cure for hopelessness, and wait a minute, the cure for depression, the cure for lostness. If you had it, wait a minute, you do have it. His name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. That's why we do what we're doing today. Because everybody needs to know there is hope for tomorrow. You don't have to die and go to hell. There's a God that sent his son that so loved you so that you can live and have a better life. Would you say amen? I got to close. You do it for the biblical reason, the ethical reason, the moral reason. You do it for the logical reason. Pastor read the scripture. Everybody that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call unless they believe? And how shall they believe unless they hear? And how shall they hear unless they preach? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? This is not an Assembly of God thing. It is a Jesus thing. Amen. We are to send the gospel around the world. And lastly, it is a reciprocal thing. You can't outgive God. You don't, listen, friend. If you think you're going to give in this offering today and you're going to get an abundance back because you give, you're in the wrong place. Listen, sometimes when I make a faith promise offering, I'm so glad that I did it till I got home. And I'm like, what did I do? Sometimes it's going to cost you to give. But friend, I'm going to tell you, we don't give to get because he's already given. We don't give to keep things from being bad happening to us. Oh, I'm going to give because I don't want God to do anything bad to me. No, don't be like the guy in my church. I went to church. God told him to give $100 in the offering on Sunday, and he didn't do it. He went home on Monday, and his mule was dead. He came to church the next Sunday and testified. He said, listen, you better give if God speaks to you, because if you don't give, he'll kill your mule. We don't give to keep God from killing our mules, okay? We give because God's been good to us, and we want him to be good to somebody else. Dave, your pastor's asking us to make a faith promise. That's a great sacrifice. No. Those folks going, these folks like Dan going, they make the sacrifice. We get to invest in them. And they're good investments. A little lady in Covington, Miss Tennessee, made a faith promise. She's on a fixed income. And when she made the faith promise, pastor got the faith promises. He looked at it. It scared the pastor to death, her faith promise. Now listen, we always say if you make a faith promise and it scares you to death, it's God. If it scares your pastor to death, it's a miracle. Pastor went to her and said, honey, I know you mean well. I know this guy, he hit the right buttons or something. I don't know what's going on, but you're on a fixed income. I don't want you to feel obligated to this faith promise. She said, pastor, I thought this faith promise was between God and me, not you and I. He said, yeah, all right. Well, then leave me alone. Let me and God work this out. That year, there was a company that moved to her town that wanted to buy her telephone number. Because her telephone number spelled out their business name. And when she got the check for the telephone number, it was exactly the amount of her faith promise. You never know. I just got back from the hills of West Virginia and Kentucky. The worst poverty I've ever seen in my life, almost anywhere. Worst. But I was preaching a service in Mayfield, Kentucky before that, and an old man walked up to me. He said, I want to tell you, son, what a faith promise is. And I'm thinking, if you call me son, you are old. He said, pastor had us make a faith promise in a mission service, and I wrote down what I felt God telling me. It literally scared me to death. I didn't know how I was going to pay it. But I was praying about it the next week, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me to go to my supervisor and ask for some overtime. He worked in the coal mines there in Kentucky. And he said, so I went to the supervisor, asked him for some overtime. He said, sure, I'll give you some overtime, 8 hours a week. Well, he worked his 8 hours that week, and when he got his check at the end of the week, he had his 8 hours that he overtime that he worked and an extra 8 hours. He went to the supervisor and said, man, you have overpaid me. He said, that's all right, don't worry about it, I'll get it next week. I'll take it out. Well, the next week he worked his 8 hours, and when he got his check, he had 8 hours overtime and another 8 hours overtime. He went in, our supervisor again, and said, hey, you can't keep doing this. I've been overpaid again. I won't be able to pay this back. You need to take. He said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it next week. No problem. You just keep working your overtime. Well, the next week he worked 8 hours overtime, and when he got his check, he had his 8 hours overtime and 13 hours extra. I said, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. I just felt like God was using the supervisor to bless me to not only take care of my faith problems, but my family. I said, well, when did that quit? He said, when I retired. Somebody says, I want to give right now. Hold your faith promise in your hand. Pastor's going to come. And Pastor, as you come, Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is a ticket to the world. This, Lord, is a ticket to send the gospel all over the world. Father, this thing today is a ballot, whether we say yes or no to what you want to do. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every nation of the world as a witness. And then the end shall come. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give and to change our world through our faith promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, let's show our appreciation one more time to Brother David. Amen. Thank you, sir. I love his heart for missions. I love the passion, you know, and I'm not calling him old, but, you know, as you get up, you want to slow down, and that guy, there's no keeping up with him. He's on fire for God because of the gospel. It compels us to do what we do, and I want you to go ahead and just fill that out. Ushers, if you're going to come back here in just a moment and help me out, we're going to just receive these Faith Promise cards today, and some of you, maybe this is your first time ever doing one. This is for next year, 2018. This is above your normal tithes and offerings. This is something we're trusting God to get to us so that it can come through us. And we're going to believe God to carry on our missions. Last year, and I should have looked at it earlier, but last year this church gave about $140,000 to missions. That's pretty substantial as a church. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we sit here and it's like getting tunnel vision. We don't, we tend to focus and just kind of look at this, but God has blessed this church. God has blessed this church, and I believe it's because we've been a missions church for many, many, many years. I haven't told anybody, well, there's a few people that know this. I haven't really said anything. I'm going to do it publicly because here in a couple of weeks we're going to have a dedication. But we have been given a building here in town. A ministry has given us a business, or not a business, but it was a business center. It was an old dentist office that they're on North Ridgeway, 301 North Ridgeway. It's Bethel Temple's new ministry center. It's about $500,000 building, free, debt-free. Just gave it to us. That's pretty good stuff. We've already had a team leader meeting there just a few weeks ago, and we're finalizing the paperwork on that. And I look at that and I think, God, why would you do that? Because this body has always, always had a heart for missions. Even when the economy was difficult, I can stand here today and tell you we have never cut one missionary. We've never shorted one missionary. We have kept them. In fact, I get letters all the time. Pastor, thank you for your faithfulness. We've got some that we've been supporting for 20 years. Some of you guys do it on your own. I mean, every year at the end of the year, I get a report. Individuals that support missionaries, and we'll get a report that says, you have 8, 10, 12 people in your church that are supporting these missionaries. Here's what they did last year. God blesses that. Ushers, if you'll come, I want us to receive these faith promises. I'm going to give mine. And do we didn't get the bags? Okay. Well, that's okay. Just collect them. They're just cards, so you can just collect them in your hands. If you'll pass them down to the aisle, they're going to go ahead and move through here and collect these tonight. I'll give you a total at our banquet. I want you to come back tonight. It's a time we'll get to celebrate, we'll get to eat, we'll get to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask our prayer team, if you guys would come forward this morning. If our prayer team, if you would come join me down front here this morning. I'm like David. There's just an incredible presence of the Lord here this morning. And I want to tell you, I know sometimes when you start talking about money, listen, if you want to bring out the worst in people sometimes, unfortunately, start talking about money. Start talking about commitment, and we turn it off. I would be remiss if I didn't give an opportunity, because I believe there's a miracle in the house today. Guys, I want you to prepare to sing a song here in just a minute. I want you to stand with me all across the building today. Listen, God sees us where we are. The Bible says He knows our down sitting, He knows our uprising, He knows everything about us. And if you walked into this building today and you're carrying a burden, God never intended for you to carry that. See, that's a load that He didn't intend for you to bear. Maybe you walked in this morning and maybe recently the doctor has given you a bad report. Maybe things are happening in your family. Maybe things are happening in your finance. You're looking at a guy that just dares to believe that today God is able. You know why? Because He's all that I need. If you're here today and you need prayer on anything, you've got situation in your life that you're facing, you need a miracle, while we sing this morning, would you take a step out of where you are, and would you come and let us pray with you today? This is important time right here. This is ministry time. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us.
By His stripes, we are healed.
Come on, if you need prayer, come on, we'll pray with you. Listen, God wants to do something incredible this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We're washed clean.
Hallelujah.
Now we have the victory.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The power of sin is broken. Jesus overcame it all.
Amen.
He has won our freedom. Jesus has won it all. Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Lift your hand up to him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, touch God. Come on, let go of that. Let go of the burden that you brought in. Let it go. God's big enough. God's big enough. Have faith. Have faith in God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, there's no family conflict. There's no family. I don't know why. I'm going to just say what the Lord laid on my heart. There's no family conflict greater than God's ability. There's nothing too far gone that God's not able. Nothing. There's no hurt too painful that God can't heal. You just got to be willing to let it go. I want us to pray as we dismiss. Man, what a sweet, sweet presence of the Lord. There's one thing. I tell you all the time, we're not. It's not about show. It's not about show. We're not here to impress anybody. We're here to bring our imperfect self to a perfect God and say, God, I'm not much, but what I am, you can have. I want us to pray for Brother McCoy. Hurts my heart. I understand life, but I also understand God's faithful. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Brother Wayne, Wanda. Uphold them. What a man of faith. What a man of faith. God, honor him. Touch him. Strength to his bones. Courage to his spirit. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Overshadow them, their home, their travels. Lord, I ask you. Now, Father, I pray. Well, I don't really know how to close the service, but I do know that there are some here struggling today with family issues. Well, there's some that are standing here today that have a wound, a pain that's been there for a long, long time. And Lord, your presence is here to heal that, to cut out that diseased part of their heart, and to give them a new heart. It may not change the outward circumstance, but it will change what's inside of them. Heal that wound today, Jesus. Heal that wound. Father, I pray that we see that, Lord, that with you, all things are possible. And Lord, for our missionaries, as we are on our mission Sunday, Lord, we pray that we would do our part, that we would never get tired of hearing missionary stories or having an offering plate passed and be asked to give to a missionary. May we never grow tired of that, because, Lord, your gospel will be declared in all of the world for a witness, and then the end will come. Help us to never lose sight of what you called us to do. I ask you to go with us today, Lord. May we go out thinking of why we do missions, why we do the things that we do. And, Lord, I pray that if you tarry, bring us tonight to our banquet to fellowship and to celebrate missions one more time. I love and I bless each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much.